On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we have the long-awaited return of a sporting superstar to Sport HQ. Rebecca Gallop runs a long way, very fast. But as we're going to find out, that's only half her story. The twins are back, and they tell me they've had a quiet weekend that included their 17th birthday. And Graham reports on a weekend where all things went bump in the night for the Newark Striders. It's action-packed, it's all about you. It is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And as it's Tuesday, we start with how some of our youngsters have been getting on. Our two local under-18 teams both had tough away matches in the Notts Youth League on Saturday, and they both came home with a point apiece. Max Lockwood scored a hat-trick for Farndon Colts as they drew at Chesterfield, while Newark Town shared four goals at Skegbay. The Radio Newark Sport Match of the Week was Gary Atwood's RHP Colts, and they provided a pulsating Sunday afternoon at the Leisure Centre, coming from four goals down to share the points with Rushton's. Ryan Atwood and Alfie Price sharing the goals. Ed Howlett won a bronze medal at the Nottingham Under-20 Championships. A tough draw for James Rutherford saw him with a top 20 finish. Finley Cranage enjoyed a good day's racing on his first ever visit to the Peterborough BMX Club. Racing in the 9 to 10 year old expert class, he finished third in the B final. Newark Rugby Club's under 15 girls beat their Kesteven counterparts by the remarkable score of 66 points to nothing. And James Edgington and Thomas Gibbs, with four tries, all crossed the whitewash for Newark Rugby Club boys under-13s as they drew 25-all with Market Raisin. It was a weekend for draws. And finally, the cold, wind and mud didn't stop our young cyclists. In round five of the Lincolnshire Cyclocross, Isabel Delvelle was fourth overall and second female in the combined women's senior and junior race. Round four of the Leicestershire meet saw Charles Hoy finish third in the under-12s, while in round six of the West Midlands Cyclocross, Judy Topp finished second in the under-12s race, while younger brother Jet finished second in the under-10s. I'm Mick Bradley, and he's not Tony Smith tonight, but as I've already said, we have someone who's much, much better. Our guest tonight is the current Newark and Shield District Council Sportsperson of the Year. So this would seem to be a good time to remind you all that you've got one more day to nominate who you want to win something this year. Do you know someone who's gone that extra mile? Do you know a team have pulled together when times have been tough? Do you know a coach who's guided a sportsperson through to victory? Do you know somebody that has committed a number of hours to voluntary support to support the club, individual or team? Categories for all those. It's going to take you 5 minutes to go onto the Active for Today website. That's all it takes. Then you go on, you put the nomination in, and someone is going to end up as Sportsperson of the Year. Isn't that right, Mrs. Gallop?
It is, yes.
And you are the current sports player. You've only got 1 month to go.
I know.
And then, who knows? Somebody might have put you in again this time around. Who knows? But it's something to be immensely proud of, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially because, yeah, it's the town where it's all come from, really. So, it means a lot.
I'm not voting. Active for Today are not voting. All these nominations are coming from people out there who's putting their heroes in, and then it goes to a very learned panel and they spend an awful long time choosing the winners. 11 categories in all. Sportsperson, we've got the team of the year, we have the club of the year, junior team, junior sportsperson, junior disabled, volunteer. The Sam White, very poignant this year, of course, the Sam White junior volunteer of the year, and the newly named Warwick Lane junior sportsperson of the year. And there's going to be a few tears for both of those two on the night, and that's what makes those two trophies in particular something that you should be very, very proud of winning. Go to the Active for Today website. As I say, follow it through. It's not difficult. It will take 5 minutes of your time. It's not just a question of ticking the box. You've got to put the reasons why. But if they've done something as special as what Becky did last year, and again this year for that matter, but last year, it's got to be worth your time to nominate these people. Got to be. Please, please, please. Have a go at it. Still to come, the Twins are going to report on Newark Athletic Club and Graham Welsh on the Newark Striders. And in between that, for the next 50 minutes, Rebecca Louise Gallup. Becky, it's been a long time since you've been here. Yeah. So you've had a very busy 2018. But in this little section, I want to stick with 2018 because from when we first knew you, you still are a member of Newark AC, and it is still very important to you, but your running, your style of running, possibly, the amount of events that you do has changed beyond all comprehension. So I need you to explain to me what's happened.
This year?
Yeah.
So this year's, it's been a really good year, but a bit different to the last few years, because I've not done an autumn marathon, so I've decided to take a season off and try and improve my speed a little bit, so then I go back into London next year a lot quicker, hopefully. It's a funny year as well, because I don't think anybody got the times they wanted in London, because it was obviously that stupidly
red hot, wasn't
hottest
it?
Day on record. Yeah. So whilst my my position was the best it's ever been, the time wasn't what I was on for and where my fitness was. But instead of doing another autumn one, I've just took a bit of time off just to get my speed on the shorter distances
and
improved.
Whereby, as you still are a very important member of Newark AC, and Newark AC are very important to you as well, it's you've also sort of gone up that ladder. Don't be modest.
I've got a fantastic, as well as Stuart at Newark AC, I've got another fantastic coach, Tom Craggs, his name is, and he's done wonders with me as well. So it's everything's just been a lot more specific to me, my body, my style, and my targets and goals. So I still spend a lot of time with Newark AC. I was there last Tuesday training with them on the grass, but it's more as and when it suits my races and my schedule, so I'm not there at every session now if it doesn't fit.
Because the Becky of old would have done every North Midlands meet, every cross-country meet, every meet there was going, renowned for your hammer throwing or whatever.
Yeah.
Nowadays it's very much what your two coaches say, no, you need to rest, no, you need to go. And this has got you a Midlands shirt.
Yes, I was super, super pleased with that opportunity. I think in running, it's in senior running, apart from cross country where you can run for the county, there's not really much opportunity in between. It's sort of England or club, really, so they've started to bridge the gaps a little bit, and it was really nice to have that as an opportunity.
Talk us through the day in Peterborough then.
So it was really, really, as everybody knows, my whole year of races, nobody's doing races when I race anymore, because I've been really bad weather, apparently. I'm jinxed with the weather. So even the people that were competing in York have blamed me on their rain, and I was nowhere near them. But yeah, it was a really, really, really rainy day. It was horrible for spectators. But I actually didn't, compared to the heat that we've had every other race I've done all summer's been 25 degrees plus. So it was actually quite nice to run in cooler temperatures. But it's a really fast, flat course. If anybody's ever done Peterborough before, they'll know it's just, if you want to get a good half time, it's a really good one to go to. But they hosted the regional, inter-regional competition this year. So there were people representing the North, the South, the Midlands. And we came, we got told when we finished that we'd won, but we actually came second. So, but yeah, but it was just a really pleasing performance that there's three of us in the team and we came second in the regions for the ladies, so that was good.
And the bit you missed out on?
And I came fourth overall and I got a lovely PB as well, so it was a fantastic day, yeah.
So it's a pleasing day for you and a pleasing day for the team.
Yeah.
What's the step up like to being an individual when, like at the London Marathon, you're going down as Becky Gallup, you're doing your thing, you're the boss, you do what you want to do, to being in a team of four, running to instructions almost?
Yeah, you just get, when you're in the, it's just the bit before the, do you mean on the race day itself? Yeah.
I mean, even the lead up to it, because you are actually racing not for Becky Gallup, you're racing for the Midlands.
Yeah, I suppose with running in a event like that, it is just running the best that you can do in your performance to make sure your team's got the best chance of doing it, because it gives you points. So it's not really much of a difference in terms of what your race strategy is. It's still, you want to run as fast as you can and get the best time you can. But it's just nice at the end, because you waited for... I waited for the next two girls to come, because it was, I had to see how well we did as a, and we all, when someone told us we won, we all got really excited together, and it was just nice to have that bit of team spirit. And beforehand, you get your own separate bit to warm up in and get together beforehand, so you've got a bit of team bondingness that goes on, which doesn't normally happen with running. So that's the nice bit of it. But in regards to the race itself, I sort of did what I always do, is just run my plan and run what I want to do.
So will there be another Midlands Best?
I hope so.
Is it just a once a year thing then, or?
I don't know what the plans is going forward, to be honest with it. I don't know if it is, and I'm presuming it will change around different half marathons, but I'll definitely be up
so
for it again.
You did Bristol as well. You took Mother for a day out.
I did. So Bristol was a few weeks before, about a month before, and that was another rainy day. And I got a PB there, so I knocked off another 30 seconds at Peterborough. But Bristol's quite a windy, it's not the fastest of courses, it's quite, the second half's really windy and twisty. But I was, yeah, really pleased, because I knocked 2 minutes off from it a year ago when I last ran there. And that was the last half I did, so...
How difficult has it been to adjust to not being there, doing that, every race there was going, you seem to be there? How difficult has it been to adjust and say, sorry, I can't?
It's not... I suppose it's not been... Because I feel like I've got somebody... There's someone to be accountable to now. Now I've got somebody telling me what to do. I know it's in my best interest. Whereas I think before it was always my decision, whereas it's not really so much my decision anymore. And I know that the rewards, it's worth it because of how much I've progressed over the last few years. It's been so much better for me targeting on the marathon as regards to trying to do everything good.
Seems to be... from looking from the outside, a bit of a game shift of late. I'm wondering if this is Stuart's influence, because Amelia Crispin and Joseph Monk, the two young sort of big stars of the future, even though there's a lot more coming through at Newark KC, but those two in particular are following your road. They're now picking and choosing and not going out doing everything on a Saturday and everything again on a Sunday, and I guess this is the Stuart influence.
Stuart's always been very, very keen on people not doing too. I think that's one of the best aspects of him as a coach, is he's always there looking for the long-term view rather than the short-term gains. And so he's always making sure people aren't overdoing it, and especially with regards to racing, because that's when people get injured, and especially as youngsters, they can get really worn out and wiped out if they're doing everything instead of just...
Do you feel better for what you're doing in 2018 as opposed to what you did in 15 and 16? So?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do. Feel better. So.
Talking of feeling better, this is what we want to talk to you about after we've spoken to the twins. It's about the day job.
Yeah.
Last week, Luke O'Reilly came in from Kitchen 52 and told us about the nutrition and the nutritious foods and the way that more and more sports clubs and individual have changed their way of eating.
Yeah.
He's got to be doing something right, because FlowServe are doing very well. Balderton are won their league. Lincoln City are top of the table, and his boxers are reigning supreme. So he's doing something right. Now, on the other side of what Luke does, we have Adam Holland, who basically eats what he likes when he likes and still wins everything. Are you in the nutrition food camp?
Yeah, I think I've just got a really balanced diet, really. I'm not uber good all the time, because that would be way too boring. But I'm not in the Adam Holland category by any any means. So yeah, I eat a lot because I run a lot, and I eat a high percentage of carbs because I know that's going to fuel me and make sure I'm strong for my training and my races. But then at the weekends, I do have the odd glass of wine, and I do.
You have a hen party every weekend.
Yeah, that's all calmed down now. All right. All my friends have married off
now.
Yeah, it's been really boring this year. So yeah, I think it's just all about balance, really. And obviously, when I've got a race coming up, I'll be good a few days before that and make sure I'm upping the carbs and stuff. So.
Because that's one of three. It is what you eat and the way you look after yourself. The way you look after yourself is what you do, and that's what we're going to talk to us after after half past seven, the way you should look after yourself from any sports person's point of view. And in a couple of weeks' time, the New York Community Ambulance people are coming in, because gone are the days at the football match you ran on with a bucket and sponge, poured the water all over them and told them to get on with it, which is why most of us at 60-plus are walking around with knees that don't do what they're supposed to do anymore. So Becky's going to talk about what she does after half past seven. Before then, if Lauren's not sort of thrown a pole vault somewhere, we'll be with the twins, who apparently had a very quiet weekend, even though it was their 17th birthday. Believe that, you'll believe anything. So it's the twins minus one for the third week running, as Lauren's gone pole vaulting again to keep in the warm, and left poor old Tilly to report on the birthday weekend. Happy birthday, Tilly.
Thank you.
You're being listened to tonight by Rebecca Gallup as well, so Becky, I'll leave your mic up so you can join in. It was a quiet weekend for Newark AC. We'll do that bit first. Very little, if anything, was going off at the weekend, so we'll get Newark AC out of the way. Let's get to the most important thing. The twins are now 17 years old.
Yep.
And what did your 17th birthday bring you?
We're going to have driving lessons. We've been driving with Dad, but we got some straighteners and we went out for a meal with all our friends. So that was really nice on Wednesday. And then we drove on Saturday. And then tonight I managed to drive to running and not crash. So getting all right.
I think Dad's very brave.
Yeah.
No, he's very brave, yeah.
Driving in the dark as well. About the second time driving in the dark. That's commendable.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously taking to driving quite easily.
Yeah, well, where we ride, they have a field, so I did do a little bit of driving in the field, only at like 10 miles an hour, but I got like clutch control. So then when I went in like Dad's car, I could already do the clutch control, which helped a lot. So
good stuff. Does Dad realise that he hasn't just got to buy one car, he's got to buy two?
And got to buy two, and he'll have to buy Amber one, because Amber's still not fast either.
Oh dear. So are you both going to have matching cars then?
I think we'll probably end up getting one, to be honest, because me and Lauren go everywhere together anyway, so it'll be a bit pointless getting to, because we're always together.
That's true. Unless she goes pole vaulting.
Yeah, unless she goes pole vaulting, then, yeah.
And not only was it your two's birthday, but 2 or 3 days later, it was Big Sister's.
Yeah, Amber's was on Saturday, yeah, in America.
October's an expensive month.
I know.
Month in the Owens' household, isn't it?
Yeah. But March is expensive for me, for us children, because it's mums and dads, so they have a sequel.
Absolutely lovely. And you all wished Amber a happy birthday over there stateside, and she's still having fun?
Yeah, she's still having fun, yeah.
Excellent
yeah,
stuff.
Still loving it. She went shopping with all her friends, so that was nice.
Lovely. And she's still got that American accent. We'll have to get rid of that come Christmas.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We can't be doing with that. Well, wish her all the best for us, and we can't wait to catch up with her again at Christmas. This weekend, you are running again, are you?
Yeah, we've got the national relays at Berry Hill on Saturday. And on Sunday, we've got the Mini League Sports Hall.
So, lots to talk about next week. But just tell me about, obviously, if it's called the National Relays, it's a relay. So, am I right in thinking it's a cross-country event and it's, four of you?
There's 3 in a team, and for the men, there's 4 in a team. I'm under 17, so I run 2.5K. I'm in a team of 3. So, there's me and Lauren, and we're hoping to get one more person from the club in our team as well. So... And it's a really good event because the first person goes and then you just carry on around like a relay. So it's like a fun event as a team.
So the first person goes, does the lap.
Yeah.
Then you take over the baton and it's your... Well, somebody from Newell Casey's got to make up a team, surely. Yeah,
there's 2 people we can ask, so that's good. So hopefully we'll have a team.
You're not leaving it late then?
No, not leaving it late.
No.
And I also found out when the proposal of the track is, but it's not 100% definite, but I asked Gareth on Tuesday and he said it is the 12th, the grand opening's on the 12th, but we should be training there on the 13th of November, hopefully.
So when I talk to you on the 13th, I'll be talking to you from the new running track?
On the new track, yeah, hopefully.
That's going to be good stuff, that is. You get your running spikes in for that night.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I can't wait for that. Uh-huh. Right, get some training in because it's a busy weekend. Get that third member. Is Dad running as well?
Yeah, Dad's running, yeah.
Is Mrs. Gallup running?
No, I think she's got a 10K.
Yeah, that's you.
You are Mrs. Gallup.
Sorry, I thought
it's hard enough with the twins. You are... Oh, dear. Yeah. Tilly, help me
out.
Tilly.
I was confused.
Is Mrs. Gallup running?
No.
Who are you talking about?
I have a 10K on the Sunday.
You've got a 10K on the Sunday. You can tell me about that one in a minute. Thanks, Tilly. I'm glad you're here to help her out.
Have a good session, Tilly. Bye.
See you, Tilly. Talk to you next week. Tilly's gone. She's gone training. So we've worked out in all that you've got a 10K. You knew a KC and this new running track, it's going to be the making of the club.
Oh,
I mean, the club is, don't get me wrong, I'm not, the club is wonderful. How you produced the runners that you produce with the facilities you've got, I don't think anybody knows. But if once you've got facilities and you'll attract so many more people because you've got something to attract them with. I don't think there's a limit to where Newell KC can go.
Oh, I hope not. I really hope so. Yeah, we're all really, really excited about the new facilities. And we've actually already started Bill Taylor, who's Linton Taylor's father's...
Mrs. Taylor's my dentist.
Oh, is she?
Yes, yes. Apart from every now and again, I think she's lovely.
Yeah. So he's... We're getting a group together throughout Newark of sort of anybody over the age of 16 that's... really wanting to push on with their running, and we've all started training together. So that's sort of the first step, really. And we've got people from different clubs coming as well, and they're all at the Grove tonight training together.
So is this on the back of what's been achieved by the half marathon and the all clubs?
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely wonderful. I'm told by the guys the New York half marathon is unique in the fact that it's not run by a professional company, not run by one individual body, but run by an amalgamation of all new running clubs getting together and working for Newark, which I just think is wonderful.
Yeah, no, it is. It's brilliant. And we run throughout the year, so about once a month, we run we have an all clubs run on a Sunday together, which just brings all the clubs together as well. So it's been bringing, because we've got quite a few, we've got runners of similar abilities sort of all spread out through Newark, so sort of Bill's bringing this together, so we've just been doing some training together, which has been really good, helping to push each other on.
Because I think the relationship between Not Fast, the Striders and Newark AC has never been better.
No, definitely not. It's great to see everyone there.
I talked to all three parties, and all three parties want to keep their own name, which is fair comment, and their own club, but they also every now and again group up.
That's
lovely. So you're doing this with Bill Taylor?
Yes.
And you're running once a month?
It's once or twice a week. It's a really new early days getting it together. So we were all together on Saturday in the woods, in Simperford Woods, and there's a session, they're joining up with Stuart's session at the club tonight. I ran earlier today, it sounds good. But it's open for anybody. So anybody in throughout Newark who's not a part of a club or is part of a club, but is just wanting to get some sort of good, sharper training in, then they'll be happy for them to join our group.
Good stuff, and that's I think Newark. I always remember what Fiona Hextall said to me when she went off from Newark to work at Gedlin. And he said, "You are so lucky in Newark to have the running clubs that you've got. We've got nothing, even close to that over there." So, you know, we are lucky. Right, a few more national world headlines to come, and one of which I'm going to need Mrs. Gallup to make a comment on, and then we're going to talk about the day job. Real Madrid have sacked their manager after 4.5 months in charge at the Bernabeu. He succeeded Zinedine Zidane in June, but a crushing 5-1 defeat to Barcelona in El Clasico. That was their fifth loss in six games, and they are ninth in the table, and Real Madrid simply cannot be ninth in the table. They've won the Champions League for the last 3 years. And the one I want to talk a little bit more about with Becky, the World Anti-Doping Agency needs urgent reform following its reinstatement of Russia, says a group of leading national anti-doping bodies. In September, it lifted a three-year ban on Russia's anti-doping agency that had been imposed because of state-sponsored doping. Best person to ask about that is an athlete.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
So, yeah, you are the athlete, yes.
I know, I didn't know if there was still athletes going on.
There's nobody else here. they've reinstated the Russian anti-doping agency.
Yeah.
After 3 years ago, they said that the doping agency reacted to state-sponsored doping en masse. And I think even today there's a Russian hammer thrower or somebody like that being found for doping. Is this doing the sport of athletics any good whatsoever? Should it be a clean sheet and start again? Or should Russia be out and stay out?
Well, I think it was a terrible, terrible, awful thing they did because it was cheating. But I think anybody should be given a chance to amend their ways and start again. So I think as long as they're really scrutinised and checked up on, then I think they should. Yeah, I think it's good for anybody to.
You're in favour. You're in favour of letting Russia
chance.
Back
in. Yeah, as long as they're back in, and if there's so many athletes that would have been training and competing, right? So why should they have to
if they abide by the rules?
Yeah.
If they abide by the rules, then yeah. You know, I mean, everybody said that the World Cup in Russia would be a complete disaster. The World Cup in Russia was the best World Cup we've ever had.
Yeah.
So if Russia wants to abide by everybody else's rules, then, yeah, there is room, isn't there?
Yeah.
But first time it doesn't happen, goodbye.
Yes.
And it's got to be goodbye forever if that's the case.
Yeah.
We've already mentioned that last week we learned that unless your name is Adam Holland, a correct diet is going to help your performance.
Definitely.
And I think we've proved that. We've certainly proved it with our local sports club and how they're acting, Flosive in particular.
Yeah.
When everybody else is going down a gear, they seem to be going up a gear. And this is what you eat. But it's not just what you eat on match day. It's got to be what you eat on the other six days a week as well.
Yes.
Gone are the days of arriving at football or cricket match eating a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Now, your job is different to that, but I think it dovetails into the healthy eating. It's looking after your body. So just tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll go into how people can help themselves.
Yeah, so I'm a sports therapist, and we look after people, not just sporting people, but anybody that's in pain because of their body. And with sporting people in particular, we're just trying to get rid of any imbalances in their body, work out any weaknesses they've got, just to try and get them as strong as they can do for their sport.
Because in the olden days, when I was a lad, you played football or cricket, you stopped in the clubhouse till 10 o'clock, you played again the next morning, didn't do anything different until the next weekend, and then you did it all again, and now most of us are walking around with, to put it bluntly, knackered knees, amongst other things. What can we do? Not what particularly can you do, we'll come to that in a minute. Yeah. What can we do?
So athletes of all different sports, a really simple thing is to make sure when you finish your sport, you don't just stop dead. So whether that's a football match or a hard run that you've done.
That was actually on my next list of questions for you. Why? I understand before the match. I see him come out before the match for three quarters of an hour. You go to a top professional game and they're out there going for a routine to warm up and, I assume, get the muscles working. Why after?
So afterwards, you want to get your muscles, you want to start the recovery process. So your muscles are not just, you're not just stopping in the middle of a hard session. You're just cooling your body, you're making sure your body winds down so that your heart rate gradually comes down. You've still got blood going to your muscles to start that repairing process. So when you're doing the hard bursts of activity, so you're sprinting up the line in football, you're tearing your muscles, you're injuring yourself a little bit, and the only way that they can get repaired is by making sure the blood's going back through to the muscles. So doing some light jogging at the end of the game can help.
So if you stop at, I mean, we'll talk football rugby if you like, if you stop at 90 minutes, or if you stop at a half marathon, end of,
yeah,
then your body is going
to
take,
it's just going to take a bit longer to recover, and you want to be back fighting fit again the next training session that you've got. So it's all about getting people back feeling fit, ready for their next session as soon as you can do. So stretching helps as well, having hot baths, anything like that to just really ease those muscles off so they can get repaired, so they'll get repaired stronger and bigger for your next training session or
and sport. like Luke said last week, you know, don't just do it, eat the healthy food on a match day, look after yourself in the week. Now, you've said that's what you do, but you also said you don't have to be 24/7 365 days a week, you know, you can enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Looking after your body, is that a 7 day a week?
Yeah, I think that is more with me. I suppose partly because I've got my colleague, sports therapist, that's a few days door, so I'm quite lucky. So I've got somebody there to look after me. But I'm really good with I always warm up and I always cool down. And Sam can tell you, I spend many a time in front of the TV in the evening doing my stretches and my strengthening things, so I don't get injured, because I don't want to get injured. I want to run and keep running and keep improving, so I'll do anything I can do.
So most nights, every night, you have a routine?
No, not every night. Probably three times a week I have a proper good stretch out. But after every hard run that I've done, I'll cool down and do a little bit of light stretching afterwards.
So how can... Let's move this one on a little bit then. So we've agreed that... people look after the bodies before and after, and in the week, just don't be silly and just keep stretching and keep those muscles going. when somebody does have a niggle,
yeah,
in the olden days it was they put some spray on it and everything felt all right and away you went again, and until eventually it become blatantly obvious it wasn't all right. What happens now when you have a niggle?
The best thing to do when you've got a niggle is to get it nipped in the bud and sorted straight away, because bodies are really, really clever at cheating and compensating. So bodies want to keep us going. And if you've got a niggle or you've gone over on an ankle or something like that, your body will start using different muscles to keep you going. And that's when you can end up with a compensation pattern going all the way through your body. And that might go on for 8 years, 10 years, but then at some point your body can't cope anymore. And then it's a massive process to try and unwind all these compensation patterns and get the right muscles working for whatever sport it is that you're doing. So if you get something early, the quicker you get in, the quicker it can be sorted out, and you can find out what it is that caused it in the first place, so you can start strengthening any weak muscles that you might have, or working on your running style or technique in whatever sport you do to make sure it doesn't come back and it doesn't come to haunt you again later on.
So the body will hide.
It will, yeah. It will just cheat. If a muscle's got injured by a fall, trauma, or just overuse, other muscles that aren't really meant to be doing that job will just take over to help it out. So, and that can go on all the way through your body for years, and then at some point your body just can't cope anymore, and the pain comes, and that's when people tend to get injury after injury after injury. And I have plenty of people that come in that have said, you know, they've been running 5 years, never had any issues, and then they're suddenly getting numerous one after another and after another, and that's just because their body's coped for 5 years, but it probably hasn't been working as
I mean in a been. Perfect world. And yes, I mean, we're not here to advertise, and there is more than one company. If anybody wants to talk to a sports therapist, I'm not advertising any companies, but you all know who Becky is. In the perfect world, I go to once every 6 weeks, and it sorted my back out, because before it gets bad again, he stops it getting bad. Yep. Not everybody can afford that. So no. The ones of people that can't afford to do it, what tips have you got for somebody who cannot go and see if
you can't afford to see someone regularly, I still think it's worth going to see somebody, at least that if you do get a niggle come, at least go then and find out what your weaknesses are and your imbalances. There's loads of stuff you can do at home, like there's foam rollers, which a lot of athletes probably have heard about, and they're big sort of tubes where you can roll your body onto them to help loosen things up. And I think doing some strength and conditioning work can help reduce the risk of injury. So if you're, for whatever sport you do, especially with runners, they quite often just run and they don't do anything else to support it. But as a runner, you really need a good strong core and strong glutes to get you working effectively. And a lot of injuries come from weaknesses in those areas. So if people can start doing a little bit of strength and conditioning work alongside the running, they'll reduce their injury risk as well.
Because we've already said how lucky we are to have striders and not fast. And you've got some guys at New York KC as well. 20 years ago, 90% of those would have been lost to sport. We have now got the Colin Greens of this world still out there, still running, which is... That's a testament to how he's looked after his body, but it's also a testament to how things have moved on as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great. Great to see him. Peter Davis as well, he's doing phenomenal, yeah.
He's just getting better and better, isn't he? You know, he comes and tells us, oh, that's the over 65 category. Peter, you're not, in no way.
But, I know.
Have those people got to look after themselves more or differently?
I think a bit differently. I think main thing when you get older is your bodies can sometimes need a bit more time to recover in between sessions. So Peter Davis doesn't train for, he has more recovery days between his runs than what I do, for example, just to give his body a little bit more time to recover. But apart from that, there's no limits.
Again, it's
limits on age aren't as much as what people I think they are, really.
No. Okay, that's Because I sit here in awe of these people of my age that's still running, because I certainly couldn't do it. So I'm just completely in awe. I'm going to find out in a minute what Graham Welsh thinks to all this that we're talking about. In fact, that's what we'll do now. Let's bring Graham into this after a little break. Okay, Graham's got an awful lot to do tonight. Not only has he got to give us his Striders report, he's then got to tell us how he stays fit and healthy and see if Mrs. Gallup gives him a gold star. Graham, good evening.
Good evening.
Let's start off with the main reason that you join us every Tuesday night. I've already read the report. Another wonderful weekend for the New York Striders. All yours.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Yeah, it was a super weekend, actually, and in particular on Sunday. It was one of the high spots of the year for Striders and many local runners, really, with the Worksop Half Marathon. And the weather, really, well, it was a bit of a chilly start on Sunday, has to be said, but the weather itself, all in all, was absolutely ideal for distance running. And, we had some really good results. I think it was quite heavy showers down in Newark, but up in Worksop it was quite nice and sunny, and the winds weren't too strong either. So we had some great results, and the first Strider to finish the Worksop Half Marathon was Lewis Hopkinson. He crossed the finishing line in 1 hour, 22 minutes and 5 seconds. So he came 43rd overall, and I think there were 2,362 finishers. So, yeah, he came in front of over 2,300 of them. So a great run there from Lewis. I've got plenty of PBs, and the first of those is the next person I'm going to mention, which is Matt Silk. He knocked a few minutes off his personal best time to finish in 1 hour, 31 minutes and 41 seconds. I really can't mention all the 27 runners, but we'll run through a few of them. Jean-Louis Ballestre had another good run, 1 hour, 34 minutes and 58 seconds, and that was with stopping halfway around to take his shoe off and take his sock off and faff around with a blister on his foot and put his shoes and socks back on and then get running again and finish in 1 hour, 34 minutes. And then the wonderful Peter Davis, he was the next Strider to finish 1 hour, 39 minutes and 48 seconds. And as you might expect from Peter, he was competing strongly in his age category. And in fact, the Worksop Half Marathon was also serving as the Notts AAA Championship, County Championships for Half Marathon. And Peter got a silver medal in his age category, which is 65 to 74. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying. Next person I'm going to mention is Steve Padgett. He had a really strong race. He knocked off over 3 minutes from his PB to go under the sort of magic 1 hour 50 mark. Well, magic for some of us anyway. He got 1 hour 48 minutes and 1 second. I ran quite a long way around with him, but he zapped off me with about 5 or 6 miles to go and got a really good time there. And then the next over was me. I dipped for the line to finish in 800th place in the race. And again, I'd been trying really hard to get under 1 hour 50 for quite a long time, so I was really pleased to get 1 hour 49 minutes and 49 seconds. And then that was followed shortly afterwards by Emma Gilbert, who got 1 hour 50 minutes, first lady finisher for Striders in the race, 1 hour 50 minutes and 7 seconds. Andy Scott, he had a fall in Clumber Park. Ernie Clark waved at him and shouted hello and distracted him momentarily and he tripped over and had to pick himself up and run round, still finished in 1 hour 56 minutes. And then the next person, again, really trying hard to get under 2 hours for the first time and managing to do it was Stephen Tomlinson and Tomo, 1 hour 58 minutes and 12 seconds. Nikki Padgett, Steve's wife, she had a really good race. She was getting some support in the race from friend Jason Cobb. And she knocked over 5 minutes, in fact 5 minutes and 40 off her PB to get 2 hours, 3 minutes and 13 seconds. And I don't think it'll be long before Nikki's joining Tomo by going under 2 hours. And then the next person I could mention, somebody special within the club, is Mary Swindles. She was, again, competing in the county championships and got a county gold medal in her age group, which is 65-74. And I'm going to say a modern times PB for Mary. 2 hours, 6 minutes and 26 seconds. Mary's a lifelong runner and has run the half marathon in an hour and 31 minutes in the past, but 2 hours and 6 minutes on Sunday, really good run there. And looking a bit further down, we had Lynn Bobby. She got a personal best time, 2 hours, 24 minutes and 17 seconds. And Di Holmes, again, knocked 9 minutes off her personal best time for 2 hours, 34 minutes and 42 seconds. So 27 striders from the 2,362 runners, and we all had a smashing day up there. Weren't the only striders running half marathons. The Jacksons were over in Slovenia, and they were running in the Ljubljana sort of marathon festival, and they both dropped back in terms of their events. So Mark, he ran the half marathon instead of the marathon that he'd originally planned to. He won the half marathon in 1 hour 30 minutes and 53 seconds, and Jackie did the 10k instead of the half marathon and 1 hour no minutes and 7 seconds. So good runs there. And we had Nick Harrison at the clock-backed Beaver 10K. That was an hour and 18 for Nick there. In terms of what's coming up, well, we've got the coming weekend, we've got the Robin Hood 10K at Sherwood Pines. So there'll be a few people out there on, I think it's on Saturday. And then I heard actually Becky mentioning it earlier in the show, and yourself, Mick, talking about the all-clubs runs. And I think the weekend after is the first of the all-clubs runs, where we'll be running at least part of the New York half route as part of say all four clubs will be out there on a week on Sunday running together. I don't quite know the distances, but say some of it at least will be on the course. And the week after is the sold out Derby 10 mile event. So it's been a busy weekend, and we've got plenty coming up. The nights are dark, but we're still training hard in the streets of New York, Mick.
Fantastic. A couple of notes I've made, Graham, while you was chatting. One, Peter Davis, and we were talking about Peter Davis earlier on in the show. He tends to get better and better.
He certainly does. Yeah, and in fact, for somebody like people like me, you know, I didn't start running until I was over 50, and it's really inspiring for people who are a little bit older than us to be doing so well, and you know, and to be running so quickly. Because instead of dwelling on, you know, what would have happened if I was running at 30 and what could I have done and all the rest of it, you sort of think, well, I can still get better. There are age group categories to run in. There are you know, age gradings and age graded scorings that you can use to compare yourself to people in your own age groups, and things like the Summer League, the Knox AAA Summer League. It's a really good race. You're only really running against people in your own age groups and your own gender, so you don't need to worry too much about age, really. You know, you're just doing what you can do and be the best you can be for, you know, who you are, and part of who you are is how old you are.
Brilliant. Just to finish off, because time's going to beat us if I'm not careful, how do you look after your body then, Graham? I mean, Becky's told us what she does and given her advice, and Luke told us last week with the food that you eat. How do you manage to run as much as what you do, and the body's still saying, OK, let's go for more?
Yeah, well, I would say I'm not a paragon of virtue. You know, I go to many things with good intentions, and the road to has paved with good intentions, I suppose, but yeah, I must be doing something right. And one of the things that I do is I listen to people who are experts and really know what they're talking about within the club, and professionals like Becky as well, who's a great friend, and you know, I listen to some of the advice that she'll give me and try and heed it. And one of the things that keeps me running is actually running. You know, I do actually feel that I benefit from running regularly, but I don't have to be running really hard all the time. For example, you know, the works up half of the weekend. On a Monday night, I had a nice, gentle sort of 3 mile run, chatting with friends, just keeping moving, loosening up, making sure everything's you know, still not sore and things like that. You don't need to be running kind of eyeballs out all the time.
Brilliant. Oh, I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. And for you personally, it was a weekend to remember, because it's quite good actually, because my two correspondents, Not Fast Dave, got a PB as well, and you've broke your barrier.
Yeah, that's right. I thought that was going to elude me, actually. I didn't think I was actually going to be able to do that, but yeah, it's a great race. It's a nice course. It's quite hilly, but there's ups and downs. It starts and finishes in the same place. So Yeah, it's a good course for getting PBs, I find, and yeah, it was a great weekend for the club, and personally, yeah, I had a nice weekend too.
Brilliant. Graham, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye now.
Thank you, bye. The wonderful Graham Welsh there with all the Newark Striders news. And we have breaking news. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. I'd have a drum roll if I could find one. Breaking news. Becky has broken into the top 100 in the UK for the half marathon for the first time ever. Come on, how good is that? You must be so chuffed.
I was, yeah. Because I've always... My marathon's always been fine, but my I've never really done it in the half. So it's been nice this year, the fact that I have focused on shorter distances, that it has upped my rankings, which has been very nice.
And that indirectly means all the training is working.
It's been good, yeah, definitely. It's just, yeah, proving what I've been training for is, yeah, works.
Is working.
It is.
What will 2019 bring for
Back at London, hopefully it's not going to be scorching hot day, so we can actually get some decent times in. So yeah, I'm really, that's my favourite day of the year, so I can't wait for London. I mean, everything from now until then.
The whole of your sporting career now seems to revolve around the London Marathon.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I just love it.
And do you tell your coaches that this is my premier event, this is what I want to be at the best for, or how's it work?
Mainly that is where I'm better at that. So I'm never going to be a super super fast 10k runner. I'm much better at endurance events, so it's more what I'm suited for, but I love it too, so I really, really enjoy the distance.
Never going to be so fast. Tony always tells a story of when you passed him going up Beacon Hill. He was driving, you was running. Bristol again, or Leeds? Because you're at Leeds this
week. Leeds on Sunday.
So this will be, what is it? Is this a half or
this
a 10K?
This is a
10K,
yeah.
A 10K. So again, is this primarily to get that speed up again?
Yeah, it is. I don't really normally do that many 10Ks, and last one I did was Lincoln 10K on another scorching hot day, so I'll have a good go at a 10K, so I'm quite looking forward to that. And then after that, I'll be doing some cross countries in the new year, and then build up for London, so I'll have a couple of halves, but that'll be more in preparation for London.
I was going to say, do you miss the cross country, but you're going to give it another go in the new year?
Yeah, I do. It's just not tied up quite right this year, because I'm on holiday, so I miss one because of that as well. But I'll be there at the. I'll definitely do the nationals and the Midlands and stuff like that in the new year.
And it's not long till the Boxing Day handicaps in your KC. Does that come in your diary?
Yeah, definitely. And we always do a really nice Christmas Eve session, a hill session.
How can that be nice? Running up to Belmont Tower is beyond belief.
I don't know. It's a nice day and it's a good session to start Christmas with. So, yeah, I look forward to both of those events.
It most certainly has. Becky, thank you so much for coming in.
No, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the current holder of the Newark and Sheol District Council Sports Personality of the Year Award. And that award and the little plaque that she gets with it has got pride of place in the living room. That's how important it is to Mrs. Gallup. One day to vote. Do not forget. A debut tomorrow night at Sport Towers for Simon Horton, and we learn all about the wonderful world of sidecar racing. Mad. You've got to be mad if you're going to go in a sidecar, but Simon is going to tell us all about it. Coming up now, though, singing the blues, probably himself. Mr. Stuart Preston. Bye-bye.